And while we're collecting, I want to say a very sincere thanks to the subcommittee of GO that was that spent a great deal of time working on this issue. That was Mike Lane. Can everybody please take their seats? Mike Lane, Pat Pryor, and Paula Younger. And I know Kathy Covert was involved in many of the discussions as well. So, Mike?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to move Resolution F, which is revised procedures for recording and maintaining of minutes of meetings of the Tompkins County Legislature, legislative standing committees, and special committees of the legislature.
Is there a second?
I'd like to speak to it eventually.
Pat, seconds. Mike?
I want to point out that in a minute, Pat Pryor is going to move some friendly amendments here, just some wording changes. But as you point out, we've been looking at this for a long time. Minutes are an important thing that municipal legislative bodies have to keep a record of their proceedings. It's required by state law, among other things. The way you do that is not set out specifically. We know that in the past we've had some disharmony on this board regarding minutes. There are people who are passionate about minutes here. There are people who are angry about some of the things that have happened with minutes. There are many of us here who feel minutes, while having their place, don't necessarily come to the point of taking up large amounts of time in our deliberations or deliberations of the committee. There will always be errors in minutes. They are the product of the person who we appoint as the minute taker for the legislature, our board clerks, or for the committees, for example. It's their best effort at trying to put down in note form what we have said or done. But when we have a lot of changes where people don't think they're transparent or people think that there are manifest errors in them, it can lead to disagreements. So we've seen members of our legislature refused to vote on minutes, for example, simply because they're unhappy about the process. So the Government Operations Committee last year and continuing into this year has looked at this, and there was a subcommittee which consisted, as you said, of myself and Pat Pryor, ably helped by our Deputy County Administrator Paula Younger through this. We looked at various renditions of how we could propose to change our minute process that didn't destroy the idea of minutes, but also made the process manageable for our staff. And every time we looked at one, we would come up with difficulties with it, and we'd have to go back to the drawing board. Finally, we have come up with what we think is a compromise in which our minute takers would be taking minutes pretty much the way they have now. But the minutes that would be presented to the legislature or to the committees for action and for the permanent legal record would not contain all of the verbiage that it has now. It will contain action items only. So there will be less to debate at the time of adopting the minutes. At the same time, I should say those action items will be extracted from the minutes or the notes that have been taken by the minute taker. At the same time, the rest of the notes will be kept on public record. They're going to be available. We've talked with our IT people. They're going to be available on the website. And if someone feels that there's an error in those notes. They can submit an addendum to them, which will just be kept in the file to say there was some mistake made. They won't be changed except the new request or the new pointing out of an error will be there, and someone else could put in another error that they thought in the notes, which are not the official record. But it's something that could be looked back. Now, if there's an error in the action-only minutes, that, of course, would continue to be corrected on the floor, naturally. This process won't make everybody happy. I hope it'll make more happy than it'll make unhappy. But that's where we are. Doesn't mean we can't change it again in the future. We'll try it for a while, see how it goes. And so that's why the subcommittee proposed it to the GO committee, and why the GO committee has brought forth this resolution.
Thank you, Mike. And I understand that this is for interim, while the full policy itself is sent out according to our process.
That's correct.
To the department.
It's being vetted, as is our policy on policy.
Thank you, Mike. Pat, and then Dooley.
I'd like to offer, as what I hope will be a friendly amendment for clarification, at the bottom of page 1, line 45 and 46, staff designated to provide meeting minute support shall keep notes of the meeting on file and available on the county website for future reference by legislators, county staff, and the public, period. It would take out the words as needed and. And on the following page.
Hold on, could you read that? Could you read that again, please?
Okay. It's going to add two phrases separated by a few words. Staff designated to provide meeting minute support shall keep notes of the meeting on file and available on the county website for future reference by legislators, county staff, and the public, period.
Okay.
So it would take out the words on line 46, as needed, comma, and. Okay. Then on the following page, on line 49, it would also take out the last two words, as needed, and put the period after the word reference.
Okay, so you seconded the motion, so that's a friendly...
It's friendly here.
Friendly to Mike, okay. So that is now the language of the resolution. Dooley and then Jim?
Well, as you'll hear from me maybe later, I don't think this is a good solution at all. But as long as it's likely to pass, I always like to try to have the wording as clear as possible. And to that end, I prepared a substitute with some boldface language in it. Part of what I included, getting rid of the as needed Pat just mentioned. But I'd like to offer some of these to as amendments.
Excuse me. Does everybody have a substitute filed by Legislator Kiefer, number F?
It's in the red folder.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
It's in the red file.
Unless this is an amendment to the one that, oh no, PAC was accepted as friendly. Okay,
that's right.
I'm sorry.
This is to be, am I to understand this is a substitute resolution?
It's written as a substitute resolution, but what I want to offer now are a few amendments where you'll find them written on this substitute, but I'm going to offer them as amendments to what's on the floor rather than offering the whole thing.
I'd rather not go line by line through all of this since we haven't.
Well, I don't know how much of it they will accept as friendly.
Okay.
I think Pat and I have seen this ahead of time, and most of this I think we could accept. With the exception of the parts that talk about the the necessity of the staff producing a draft written notes. Their notes will be kept, but they aren't going to be out there produced and distributed the same way as the action-only minutes will be.
Okay, so if you would help me out here, then I've got Dooley's thing here. What would you not include as friendly? It sounds like the majority of the language is okay, so you'll have to specify which items you would not accept.
I think I can.
Pat, can you? I know you had worked on
Martha will recognize me. I think I can guess. If you look at line 51 at the bottom of the first page, where it's underlined and produce draft written minutes, the particularly use of the word minutes, I think that could be very confusing because the notes are not in the notes are not to be part of the minutes. There needs to be a separation between notes and minutes.
All right, so you would not accept that.
Right.
Is that what I understand?
Correct.
Okay. And we, for the same reason, we also, I think, if I'm correct, Mike, would not accept number two there, that it's on line 3 on the back, from these draft written minutes.
Correct.
And what about copied into a separate action-only minutes document and?
That's what you intend, I thought.
Copied into a set.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, so it's just the language from these draft.
It's about the draft written notes that's the problem.
Right.
Okay, so.
Also on number 3, that same phrase has been used, draft written minutes. I think that we might be able to accept it if the word minutes was changed to notes, number 2 and 3, and on numbers 1, 2, and 3.
This is getting a little complicated.
Well, we're trying to be accommodating here, but if it gets too complicated, then we'll say no.
May I explain why I did what I did? At the moment, what we have in our folder has a word draft on it, and they're the staff's draft written minutes. That's part of our agenda packet. So since the thrust was staff will keep producing written stuff as they have been doing, it seemed simplest to me to call it what they call it, which is draft written minutes, and then to separate out the fact that the part you want to keep permanently will be action only, and that what's left will be called notes. And I use the word notes in number 3 to indicate what happens to the draft that staff will continue to produce. So I tried to show the evolution of the
I understand that, but I think it's just the opposite. We think that what they produce initially from the meeting is the notes, and then from that they extract the action-only minutes.
Okay, I'm going to rule that I think this is turning into not exactly accept a friendly acceptance. So if, Dooley, you want to make a motion to substitute this resolution, I think that's the appropriate action at this point. Otherwise, we're moving on.
All right. I'll make the motion to substitute it because I thought that I thought when I explained what I was doing, since staff calls what they have draft
okay,
written
got
minutes.
It. Okay. Is there a second for the substitute? Frank seconds that. So whether to substitute this is now the topic. And Jim's been waiting, and then Pat?
Yes. I'm not going to support this. I feel like I'm drowning in irony here. We're amending the resolution to change the way we do the minutes, and it is getting very close to committee work, and I mean it's just amazing to me. The only question I would have is all the discussion we've taken place. If the new thing passes, it won't show up anywhere. Is that right?
It will show.
No, it'll only the action item. It'll say 11-3 or whatever it is.
When we vote on minutes.
Right. No.
Next meeting. Right. That document will just have the resolutions and the votes.
Okay.
Now I'm told by staff that also things like. If somebody says, I will report next meeting on, there's a request for specific information, action for directing staff or something, that kind of item, very briefly, would also be included. Right, next meeting, that's all we're going to see to vote on, but everything, as we have had in the past, will be available to us and to the public on the web and produced, you know, for us.
Thank you,
Sherry. Pat, and then Carol, and then Dooley.
And to answer Dooley's comments as to why she called them draft written minutes, I would assume that at that point the staff would begin calling them draft written notes as opposed to. And we worked very hard to make a distinction between minutes and notes so that there will not be any question in anybody's mind as to which is which. So would it be in order to move a change of the word, the places where they reference draft written minutes to draft written notes? Would that be in order?
That would be an amendment to the... To the amendment, essentially.
It's so
it's a substitute resolution.
Right.
I mean, the question right now is, shall we consider this resolution? So
Shall we consider this substitute?
Should we make this substitute resolution the one that we're going to vote on?
So and then we would have a chance to still change it.
That's okay. Right. If okay. It gets accepted, correct.
Okay.
Carol, I think you had your hand up, and then Dooley.
I'm not sure what the order is here.
Well,
I believe it should be sent back to committee, but whichever version of this passes, I'm very concerned about that the change that was made on the floor tonight and accepted as friendly that has us posting on our website notes that haven't been corrected for content in the notes is not a trivial matter. For example, I had a correction to the minutes tonight that is something that I said on the floor was attributed in the draft to Arell from our committee meeting. It had Arell Lamero introducing the notion of project labor agreements, and that was inaccurate. And if that were to be posted on the website as notes, that would be very inaccurate and could be read by somebody who theoretically could delve into the comments and come to the office and look at the legislator's comments. But I don't think it's a trivial matter. I could ask that the whole thing get sent back to committee. I have an amendment to offer to this one that I would offer. I'll offer an amendment now just in case.
No, you can't.
An amendment to Dooley's version that we're talking about.
If this gets accepted for consideration, then amendments are possible to be offered.
Negative. She has a right to amend the motion and amendment.
The motion is to substitute this.
Yeah, she can amend the substitute motion. One amendment.
Well, then I think it goes back to Pat.
Yeah.
Pat was going to do that, and I said, well, if you are, then I said, no, we have to put this on the floor, essentially, and then we can take amendments.
Okay, but that's not how it's done.
I thought you said yes. That's how it's done before.
So what are you going to do? You're going to allow Carol to make a change if you do that?
Can we try to keep this clean, folks? I'm just going to say, let us vote this up or down. Whether we're going to look at this one and then we can wordsmith that one if that's the desire.
I think I was next.
I think Pat was next. Got
Can I speak to Carol's comments? Is that okay?
Actually, I think that's on the whole thing. That's not on whether to substitute.
Can I reserve my place then, please?
Sure. Mike.
I just think that the way this is deteriorating, that I can no longer support the substitute.
Anyone else on the question of whether to substitute this version? All right, vote. All in favor of substituting the measure filed by Dooley Kiefer? Please raise your hand. One, two, three. Opposed?
You're missing someone.
What? One, two, Brian? Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Frank?
Are you? Tell me what it is.
Whether to accept this resolution as the substitute. Opposed?
No, I'm in favor.
In favor, then it's 3-2.
Four.
Four to ten. Thank you. So that has failed. So we are back on the main motion. Pat was next.
I'm glad Carol brought that question up, actually, because it's something we should have said before, is that one of the things that we talked about when terms of setting up the file, when we talked about the technology involved, is that it would clearly be labeled as unapproved notes, and that there would be something that would say very clearly that these are the notes as they were taken, but they are not to be construed as being approved minutes of the legislature.
Frank, but first I want to ask Kathy Covert to talk about what the action item minutes will look like. And I think, Kathy, if you'd also describe what process you go through in the office that produces these notes. If you don't know what I mean, I'll explain. In other words, the review that you go, that internally you go through before we even see them. That I presume,
yes. Well, let me first clarify that the what I believe to be action minutes, a good example is the expanded budget committee minutes. Those are action minutes in my mind. They will identify presentations that are held, mm-hmm. proclamations that are read, members excused when members arrive or leave a meeting, recess, all the motions, amendments, executive sessions. Those will be included in action-only minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It won't just have the resolutions and the votes taken on the resolutions.
And what I meant about internal process is that I know that staff produces whoever's responsible here produces a draft, and Kathy, you've always looked over them and, you know, then sort of clean them up, et cetera. So this is not
the draft minutes, right, are approved. And return to the minute taker, corrected. One final proofing is done, and then they are sent out with the agendas.
So that's what the notes, same thing would happen with the notes in this process?
No. They will continue to be proofed, but they will not go out with the agendas, from what I understand of this proposal.
Right. Okay, that's what I meant. Thank you. Frank?
Come back to me a minute.
I can't. Could you speak into the mic, please?
He said, come back to
me. Come back to me. I'm trying to digest what I'm hearing.
I don't have anybody on the list. Dooley?
Well, if Pat is serious that something should be posted called unapproved notes, then that should be spelled out in this resolution. If the content of the action-only minutes to be offered for approval is going to include as much as Kathy just allowed, that should be spelled out somewhere, because the simplest view of action-only minutes is just actions where votes are taken. So I had no idea what you were considering you would include in action-only.
Let me clarify. This is not the policy.
No, but
there
we don't have
several
any.
Pages of the policy, which is what Mike has pointed out is being vetted through department heads, as we always do. I think there's additional detail like that in the policy.
No, there isn't.
All right, Peter?
I have the sad feeling that we're deteriorating here. I cannot really follow the conversation anymore. I think we had a committee that worked very hard on this thing. They came up with something. It's not perfect. I see some problems in it. I don't think they're overwhelming problems. I think we just ought to adopt something tonight and then let it go for several months, and then people can make corrections to it after we see how it works. And I think that talking about all of the little small things that could be better is a waste of time. That's what I think. I would like to vote on this and go on to talk about something else.
Leslin.
Get it, Peter. Come help myself. Martha told me to keep it clean. That's when I start cussing. I appreciate the work that the committee did as well, and I thought that this was fine. Pat, and as much as I can live with some of your amendment that's friendly, the part that troubles me is what Carol mentioned, and that is having the notes, which are not official, the official adopted things, posted to the website. I have trouble with that. That's the only thing that troubles me. So I don't know if I can offer an amendment to just strike that, be available on county website. That's the language that I would like to offer an amendment to have struck from this as it is.
Second. Okay, so that's the amendment. So have notes of the meeting on file for future reference by legislators, county staff, and the public, but withdraw the website. Okay. Carol, did you have any handouts otherwise?
Just a second.
Okay. Will and then Peter.
Well, I'm very much in spirit with Peter and saying this is going on far too long. To me, the reason, Leslin, for posting the raw, uncorrected notes on the website is, it gets back to the issue of transparency. We are posting exactly what identifying what it is. It has not been approved. It does not have an official status, but it's our note taker's best approximation of what happened. And if anybody saw it differently, they are welcome to add to that. That will be added as well. It is raw, and I think it gives. It's important in the sense of giving our constituents a sense of kind of the conversation as it was seen by a few people, but knowing that it does not have official status.
I got Peter, then Kathy, then Leslin, and I would put myself in there.
Yeah, I strongly disagree with Leslin's amendment. I think the whole point of this thing is that the notes are unapproved. The place where we get into great trouble is the approval process for the notes. So they have wisely separated into what we have to do, namely the action minutes. Those we'll go through carefully. We have a procedure for amending them, and that's fine. The rest of them is the best efforts of the note taker and the people who wish to amend them on their own, going onto an online record, and people who read it can make what they will out of it. That's the whole point. And there is no approval process. So we are presenting, as Will says, raw data, which will naturally be inconsistent because somebody is going to file something saying that one wasn't right, and then you got your choice of deciding whether that the person's correction is good or not good. It's there if you want to see it. And I think that's the best we can do at this point.
Let me make a comment that maybe we'll trim some of the discussion. Right now, we post unapproved minutes on the website.
Got it.
They're labeled as draft. Okay. So I have got Kathy, Leslin. I'll take myself back off.
Thank
and then you're
you.
Ready?
Is this on the amendment?
What?
Is this all on the amendment? Or
this is about the website. Yeah, we're on the amendment.
I'll speak to that, but I also have comments about the larger issue, and I hope that somebody doesn't call the question before I get a chance to speak on that. To me, the question of whether to post on the website or not isn't as important as whether we slip back into a situation where members of the legislature are asking staff to change the draft notes that are to be posted on the website out of fear or concern that they're not, that they don't portray us accurately, that our grammar isn't correct, or that the prepositional phrase wasn't left hanging. The fact is, we don't speak the King's English. Well, okay, I'll speak for myself. I speak in the vernacular, and frankly, I'd rather, even though sometimes it doesn't look on paper the way I thought it sounded when I said it, I'd rather have it come out the way that they take it in and have a chance to look at it personally than have somebody else correcting my wording. And I still have the original concerns that I had about staff's wording being changed and the potential ethical impact of that. I guess I am talking to the larger issue, and just quickly before I get cut off, because I'll make this quick, I wasn't angry, and it wasn't that I refused to vote, I voted no. Disharmony isn't voting no. On this body, I thought that the whole point was to represent, and part of that is bringing forth what you see as a potential ethical or other problem, which I've done. I'm very pleased with the work of the committee. I can tell you, having served on a committee of this nature in the past, I have a small picture of what you've been through, and your work is terrific. I really appreciate that. The last thing I'll say is that I eagerly await the policy, and that for me, this is a very wonderful attempt, but I will be watching to see how it turns out in the coming months. And for myself, I think this goes a long way toward addressing the concerns that I have, but until the policy is adopted, my concerns won't be alleviated.
Thank you, Kathy. I have Leslie, Frank, and Mike, and I want to remind us that we haven't had any committee reports, and we have an income tax resolution to also get to. Leslie.
Well, I appreciate your sentiments behind it, and I agree with you. My concern is, when will it end? So if you have changes to make that you have heard, that you characterize what you heard me say, and it's not, then I have to change it, then when will it end? I think that's the piece for me that it's overwhelming to even think about it. Right now it is, and then to have it on the website, and if I'm not able to then see the website and what changes you have proposed that I said, I don't have time to change that, I don't know when it ends. I appreciate the work that the committee did just as it was, and would just like to leave it alone. So that's my only thing around there. But the whole transparency and people hearing and understanding our discussion, I agree with you, but I don't know how to make that happen. If people are going to be allowed to keep making these changes back and forth, and I just don't know. So that's my concern.
I've got Frank, Mike, Carol,
that's why we
and
have
Peter.
The staff.
Martha, I want to make sure that I have time to talk about the main motion if we ever get to that point.
Okay.
Okay. We're talking about the amendment.
The amendment, about the website.
I think that it's nonsense to post notes up on our website. If they're not official in some way, we're going to be baiting the public to weigh in and do whatever or interpret whatever we think somebody has said. The draft minutes are different because they have a semblance of officialdom with them. That's not any different than me posting my notes on the website. If that's all it happens to be. We probably should leave with all of the sparring that we do on an item like this, we probably would be better off leaving everything the way it has been and let our staff do the best job that they possibly can, and we can duke it out among ourselves. But I don't think we ought to be posting notes on our website.
Mike.
On the amendment, I call the question.
Is there a second? All right. All in favor of calling the question on the amendment, please raise your hand.
Can you restate the amendment, please?
Amendment is line 45, which was added as a friendly amendment to the original, and available on the county website would be removed. Right, Leslie?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the amendment. What?
Just a second.
Yeah. Jim. I'm sorry. Jim second. Okay.
I second.
I called on Jim. Mike second. Mike moved the question. Jim seconded. All in favor of calling the question?
Don't put it on the website.
On the amendment, please raise your hand. In favor
of calling the question.
Calling the question on the amendment.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 2 opposed. The question is called.
All in favor of that amendment, of deleting and available on the website, please raise your hand. Of deleting it.
Peter?
So people who don't want it on the website, raise your hand.
So just to clarify,
you don't wait. No. Wait. Let's get it clear.
Right.
It's
the the amendment is to delete the language about the website. If this amendment passes, the notes will not be on the website.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't want them on the website, raise your hand for yes.
Good. Thank you.
Yes. All in favor, if you don't want them on the website. One,
you
two,
don't
three.
Want them on the website. You don't want them on the website.
Right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Opposed? One, two, three, four. Opposed. That passes. The amendment passes.
Information.
Yes.
Don't we keep the audio file of the meetings, at least the legislature meetings, posted on the website?
Yes.
In
video.
Its entirety?
Yes, that's right.
And video file of legislature
correct.
Meetings?
Correct. Uh-huh. Okay. As far as I can tell, we're on the main motion.
All right.
And I see Frank, I see Will's hand, but Frank kind of... I'm coming back to Frank first, as a promise, and then Will.
All I wanted to say was I appreciate all the work that Mike and the special committee has done on this. But after going round and round, I think we've been at this for 45 minutes, and we still haven't really resolved anything because we're still awaiting a final policy at some point in the future. The minutes, as we have had them over the years, add a flavor to what the heck goes on at our meetings. We may duke it out here as to what Carol said or what I said or what Dooley said or maybe interpret it a little bit differently. And there's some questions about what goes into them. But I think 20 years from now, if anybody sits down and reads these to get an idea of what went on at the meeting, it ought to be beyond just simple ayes or nays on and that's all we're required to do, but simple ayes or nays on a vote. Now, I know Kathy has already explained that there's a process and there's a template for what we do at the expanded budget committee meetings, but I enjoy reading our minutes sometimes and having an opportunity to go back and double check some of the information. Some of you may not. You don't have to read them. But if we're posting something of an official nature on the website, I think it ought to contain the types of things we do, certainly in our board meeting minutes. So I'd be opposed to this resolution. I'd like to see things stay as they are.
All right. I think the order of things was Will, Dooley, Carol, and Peter. And then I want to have Paula. Paula wants to say a few things. If we could start with that. That might answer some questions and shorten some debate.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that this body is clear that right now you're looking at a resolution that will offer you some guidelines while the policy itself is in the process of being vetted. And it's stated in the resolution here on line 29. I'm referring to the original document in your packet. The reason why I wanted to bring this to your attention is that some of you are actually debating and making comments that could be made when your policy packet gets to you and you have the opportunity to make those changes, because you might be rewinding that tape and doing this all over again, and I was thinking that you might want to save some time. That information is going to be in your email boxes very soon, and you'll have the opportunity to provide changes and additional language and so forth.
Should have come on you sooner, Paul. Thank you. All right, I've got Will, Dooley, Carol, and then Peter.
Does this mean, Paul, we have to do the whole thing, this whole conversation again?
No, I was hoping.
I am utterly puzzled at the most recent vote against the amendment, because to me this is, while I was very comfortable with the overall thrust of the committee, and I applauded Dooley's attempt to try to tweak it, even understanding while that she wasn't in sympathy with what the committee had done, but she tried to make it clearer. And I thought it's been difficult, but okay, we're headed in a good direction. In our last vote, we decided essentially to remove what I thought was a critical thing, which was the ability to see just the flavor of our conversation and make it easily accessible to the public. So that if we can't do it, and I understand, Paul, that maybe this is just a temporary for tonight, but I will be actually voting against this because I think this will actually be making us less accessible, less public. So,
Julie?
Thank you. Well, I'm on GEO, and although I understand that Pat and Mike had many meetings, not too much came back to GEO. One version came back, but not the various, the many models that you all went through. So I don't know what else was considered. I had assumed when you finally came back with something, it would address the questions of what's the best way to correct our minutes, how to ensure transparency, and that it would be a somewhat data-driven decision based on how much time staff is actually spending and on what and why. But I didn't see any of that. So I think that what you've come up with as a compromise doesn't feel at all like a compromise to me. It's throwing out, having the legislature vote on what its official record is, except for action items. And action only might work well with boards of directors of small organizations that whose officers aren't elected by the public, but we're a group of elected officials. And our records, our positions on things, minority positions, majority positions, points made, it has to be clear why we vote as we do. And that's going to be lost completely because whatever is posted as unapproved notes in whatever form will have no standing. They might be an interesting novel. If other people post other comments, it will feel a little bit like the journal's comment section. It could feel like that. And I don't think that's what we want to have or that's what we want to spend time doing. So I can't support your compromise. I think that minute taking and minute approval are important. I think minute taking staff is very important. I think it's a core service that they provide, and if we can't support sufficient staff to do a core service, we are in bigger trouble than I thought. Joe always emphasizes core services, and that's a very important task for our legislative staff. So I'm sorry to vote against something, but for such a collection of reasons, I will be, because I feel like, as I've said at committee, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater in order to get beyond what seems like unpleasantness or a waste of time. Instead of arriving at a transparent way for us as a body to approve our official record, that didn't happen.
I have Carol, Peter, then Dave.
Okay, I can no longer read the changes to my own notes on what I wanted to say, but I was on GEO through 2010 and agreed, we had heard interim reports from the committee and thought that the direction we were going was looking for a process that would provide a reasonable review of our minutes and a reasonable time frame for review of our minutes, yet keep available to us a full record of what we do here. And I have only been off the committee for, 2 months now, really a month and a half, because I think I came to the January meeting, and I don't recognize what came to our body. And I think that
what finally came in the end is an attempt to avoid the conflict that's developed about the need to revise minutes, but that this doesn't do it. And I guess what I'd like to do is be able to hear from everybody once around the table and then send it back to committee. I would hope that we could do that. I agree that we're a public body with a need for an official record of the discussion that happens here and that it should be posted on a website. I think that now we're not going to have either one. I think the public deserves to know both the majority and minority considerations. I think we have frequently have staged decisions to make where we approve an initial plan and then, or a phase of a project, and then we need to come back, 6 months or a year, or sometimes a year and a half or several years later, and go on to the next phase, and that we need a record of that. But I also think that, and I also think that our staff does an incredible job presenting minutes. But I also think that there's no one person can sit through a three and a half hour meeting and get every little fact right. And there has to be a process for the rest of us to look at that and say, this little content item is wrong. I see a big problem with changes coming to us in packets at the last minute. And I'd like to see a time frame so that doesn't happen. But I don't agree with the whole direction that this has gone. So all my votes along tonight and amendments have been directed to try to make sure that that happens.
I have a feeling people know how they're going to vote. So I want to just urge us to think carefully about, do we need to speak? But I have Peter, Dave, Kathy, and then Brian.
I feel deeply embarrassed by this whole debate, frankly. And I think that, in a certain sense, it's too introspective. It's too complicated what's going on. I think we have to, you can't do this kind of thing in a meeting like this. I think we have to settle on something. I think what we've got now is very bad. With the notes not being on the web, very bad. Despite that, I'm going to vote for it. And the reason I'm going to vote for it is I think we have to make a decision. If we don't make a decision tonight on something, I think that we will not look. We will not be acting in an appropriate way. There is nothing final about this. It's not the Constitution of the United States that's going to require all the states to agree to change it. I think we have to adopt something. What we've got on the floor seems to be the will of the group at this particular time, so we'll adopt it. I think it's wrong, and I believe that after we do it, in another 3 months, we'll come back to some sensible way of putting the discussion back on the way to make it available to the public, and then things will be better. So I think, in the end, I don't want to send it back to committee. That's not the right thing to do. I think the right thing to do is just adopt it, what we've got now, that's the best we've got, and then have the committee, have you, Carol, or me, or somebody else, think about what we can do to make it better after we see what it is. So I'm going to vote for this.
I can't
call the question, but
right.
I hope somebody
I have
else
a feeling
does.
That, I mean, our, we got two reporters in the back, and I sure hope they don't have to leave before deadline before we get to the important resolution time. So, Dave, are you going to call a question? You're next.
No, ma'am, I'm not calling the question.
Dave, I've got Dave, Kathy, and Brian.
I'm going to support this, and the reason I support this is that I know how much work went into it, and I firmly believe that the action-only information that we're going to post on the website is adequate. If I believe that less time will be wasted, less money will be spent if we rely on the tapes for all the inflections and the details of the meeting. If somebody's that interested, it's only a couple, 3 hours, you sit there and look at the tape or fast forward it to get to where you need to be. So I believe the information is there with all the inflections and everything else. It's just a matter of how you go about getting there. So I'm going to support this, and that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Dave. Remember, remind everybody this is the interim policy until we get the actual policy. Then we can do this again. Kathy?
Thank you. That was my first point, that it is an interim policy. I want to respect the work of the committee. I appreciate what David said. There's also technology available that would allow us to index. In other words, put headings and say what resolution, and you can go right to that. We haven't got there yet, but it's available and we can get there. In advance of adopting a policy, I appreciate the committee's work. Here's what I want to say. I've mentioned this several times. It's amazing to me. It's puzzling to me. It's kind of awkward that no one in the debate has responded any of the times that I've brought this up to the two main points that I keep mentioning. That is that I think that no one legislator should be rewording the words of another legislator, either with or without their knowledge. It's up to the individual legislator. We are, after all, a committee of peers. Second, that it is inappropriate and can lead to breaches of ethics, even if it's not intended, to have any legislator who is, after all, an administrator, this is an HR problem, going to an employee, whether it's a department head or whoever, and people that have HR experience will tell you that that person has power over, and rewording that person's words, whether you confront them at the meeting and say, didn't you say this, or whether you call them on the telephone and do it privately, or whether you send an email, it's inappropriate. And I think that those are the basic problems that we have with the current method of going and running to staff and saying, I think this is what was said, and I took notes. The staff has the tape. The staff, if you want to say to them, I don't like your grammar, I think you need to go back to school, well, then let's just get that out on the table, because the hours that were spent on it are just, that's what's embarrassing.
Brian?
I just raised my hand because I thought everybody was supposed to speak on this. I really don't have anything to say. That's exactly what I'm doing, is calling a question.
Second. All right. The question has been raised. All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. Any opposed? So that was 14 of us. That was 11 to 3. The question is called. I got Frank and Carol and Leslie. Okay.
May I ask a question, Madam Chair?
No, it's time to vote. We are voting on a resolution F with.
What happens if it fails?
A couple small changes that y'all know. All right. All in favor of resolution F, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes 10 to 4. Please, reporters, wait. I'm going to ask that we go to Resolution D. That's Jim.
That's you.
The budget and cap.
Is he still here?
Okay, I'm here.
Resolution D.
All right.
Okay.
It's revised as adopted by the committee, supporting the extension of the tax surcharge on wealthy New Yorkers to improve the equity in taxation and help close the state projected budget gap. Now move on.
Moved by Jim, second by Kathy. Discussion? Oh, I thought we were ready to vote. Carol, Kathy, Peter.
Okay, I enthusiastically support this resolution. I hope you got copies. I distributed copies in your packets, was it, or in the boxes? I just want to correct the impression that Carol Chalk created this. Thank you for the credit to our staff, but this was actually produced by the Fiscal Policy Institute, and what this graph shows is the trends in the top marginal personal income tax rate in New York State and the way in which it has reduced since 1976 from a high that was close to 16% down to its current 6.85%. and to talk a little bit about the inequity of that, to note that, excuse me, Carol, do the media have, members of the media have this? I don't know, but I'm happy to pass along my copy. All right, we need two copies back there.
Why are we so worried about whether the media has it? What about us?
Yeah.
Do we? No, I understand, but let's keep talking about among the 15
okay.
of us.
I want to point out that the poorest New Yorkers now pay twice as much of their income in state and local taxes as do millionaires. That since 2003, people making over $200,000 per year have seen their income grow by 108%, while those under $200,000 have seen their income grow by only 15%. And this all at a time we're talking about reducing, because that's what we're doing. It would be reducing, the state of New York State is talking about reducing the income tax rate on the top earners in the state. That the tax cuts enacted over the last 20 years that I just referred to have reduced state revenues by $16 billion per year in some of those years. That the lowest, then I want to talk for a minute about the changes in the tax structure that we've seen over this period of time. The current five brackets that only range from 4% to 6.85%, that's a pretty narrow range, have resulted in people reaching that top 6.85% once your taxable income for a single person is over $20,000 a year, or the top bracket for a couple is $40,000 or more a year. That means that if I earn $20,000 a year, I'm taxed in New York State at the same rate as somebody making $1 million. That's just wrong. That's not the way we ought to be taxing. And that, back in 1976, when this started being reduced, we had, nine brackets were eliminated over those years. The brackets used to range from 2% at the low end to 15% at the top end. And there's now this narrow range from 4% to 6.85%. It just makes no sense to me. So I wholeheartedly support this and hope that we all will support it as well.
Thank you, Carol. I'm really sorry. I didn't write down who was next. Were you next, Kathy? Kathy, and then Peter, and then what did I see? Jim. Okay. I'll write it down now.
I supported this at the Budget Committee, and I seconded this. I think, like I do with many resolutions, that is too long, but that's okay. The part that is of note and that I would like to encourage my colleagues to think about is at the beginning of this meeting, we were talking about committing to broadband for the good of the community and how bad it was to not have access to online course materials from home. And yet, much of the discussion that led to this composite resolution from Dooley and Nathan's remarks was done by email and was copied on every one of the legislators around this table. I think that probably that's not very transparent and that it might even be verging on the illegal, and we need to stop doing county business by email. I also want to say that as a working individual and champion of the self-appointed champion of the working class, that I can't use the internet during the day. And I don't know, maybe some of y'all can sit at the computer all day and pick up emails as they come in, but I can't. And what that often means for me is a loss of voice, because you've made your decisions by email outside of committee, outside of a transparent process, before I even get home and get to check my email. I want that to stop. The intent of this resolution is great, and I'm going to support it.
Peter, and Jim, and Leslie, and then Will.
Okay, I'd like to offer an amendment. And the amendment is in the first resolve clause, in the second sentence, to add the word temporarily and insert it between to and extend.
Is there a second for that? Pat seconds that.
And I'd like to speak to that resolution. That,
okay.
Can you say before the what?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, am I recognized to speak?
Yes.
Yes. Like many times, there are a lot of issues floating around here. And one issue floating around is the broad general policy of what taxation ought to be. And what it used to be in 1976 and what it used to be even before that. I remember the first time I paid income taxes, which was probably in 1952 or something like that. I was shocked to discover that the marginal rate on the federal tax of the highest bracket was 90%. I thought, boy, that's really something. They have to pay 90% of what they make over a certain amount. Those were the good old halcyon days. Those days are gone forever. That did not last long. And I think the 1976 rates, it was another era. This is a different era. And I think to try to say what in this era, looking at what income taxes are in other states, what income taxes are around the world, it's complicated and it requires deep thought to say what it should be. It's not necessarily true that you can just raise the tax rate and not have any consequences against that. We talk about it's a moderate increase, but actually it's a 30% increase on the tax rate on this highest bracket that was done 2 years ago. 2 points out of 6 points, okay, is a 30% increase. So I think this is a complicated issue. I think the idea of flight of the rich is not to be taken lightly. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, I don't really know. But it's not something you can just snap your fingers and say it won't happen. And if it does happen, if you make a change like that and it happens, it's hard to undo. So that's one issue. The other issue is that we're facing an absolute disaster at this point. We all know that. New York is in a disaster. Every state in the union is in a disaster at this point. And what's happening is we don't have enough money to provide basic services. So to me, it is... And, by the way, what we're asking to do when we put in temporarily extend is extend the tax rate, which is slated for coming to an end. So I personally don't think that if we simply extend that for another 2 years or something like that, that there is really any chance of flight of the wealthy away from New York. On the other hand, if we start talking about extending it forever, I think there is a problem. And so what I believe that we ought to do is separate these two issues. One, extend it temporarily until we get out of the crisis. I don't know how long it's going to take to get out of the crisis. That's why I don't put in any time period. But I put in the word temporarily to indicate that once we're out of the crisis, that we'll let it go back to what it was before then. And then we could, you know, one could argue at that point whether that is the right rate for the upper end or should we make some small changes ahead. So that's what I'm trying to do, is to separate the two issues. One, I think, is solid. I think there's no doubt that we're practically bankrupt as a state and we cannot afford to lose that particular income that we generated this year, next year. So I'm for temporarily extending it. On the other hand, I think it would be foolhardy to extend that forever at this point. So that's why I'm making that amendment.
The discussion now is on the amendment to add the word temporarily. So I will respect the list I have, and if Jim, Leslie, and Will in that order want to talk about the amendment, I'll go to you guys first.
Did someone second?
Yes, yes. Pat seconded. So,
would you add?
I'm going to give my time up. You said exactly what I wanted to say.
Okay. Leslie?
I do not want to speak to the amendment.
Will?
I will call the question.
On the amendment.
The amendment.
Okay, that's second. Kathy, you're seconding? Okay. All in favor of calling the question on the amendment to add the word temporarily, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That fails, whatever, to 9. 5 to 9. Okay, then I have, that was Will. All right, I'm going to put myself in after Dooley and Pat.
Pat, so Dooley, then Pat, then me.
Well, just for fun, based on Carol's graph that is very compelling to look at, I would amend the amendment to insert the word permanently.
Is there a second to that? Will seconds that. In other words, change temporarily to permanently?
Yeah.
Okay. Moved by Dooley, seconded by Carol. By Will. All right. We have a new order, so.
Ask if that's friendly.
Okay. Is it friendly? No. Okay, Pat. And then I'm gone.
Am I speaking on the amendment now?
Is the amendment is to add, to change it to permanent.
Okay, that's permanent. Different. Okay, then I'll say something different than what I was planning to say. I'm not sure that I can sit here tonight and say that these particular rates that are currently in effect and will need to be extended if they're going to continue are the rates that should be in effect permanently. I can support adding the word temporarily, but who knows? I think a study of this question might indicate that they should be higher for the wealthy, as opposed to what they currently are before this runs out. So I am really not comfortable with changing temporarily to permanent. And I will vote against that amendment for that reason, although in general I support the general thrust of this resolution.
Thank you, Pat. I'm taking a turn here, and then Pam. You know, that's a pretty good argument. Let me just mention that on March 9th, Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, at 8:45 in the Beverly Livesey Room, Ron Deutsch of New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness will be giving a presentation on the New York State budget. And I would submit that he has a very different analysis of this, and I think that, you know, he comes to town every February or March and presents on the kind of information that Carol has presented. And I agree, Peter, that the political climate is not what it was. I don't accept that it should be what it is. And I don't accept that that we're just in a climate of, you know, lowering taxes or flat taxes or whatever, which we almost have a flat tax in New York. Right. So I would support the extension of the higher rate. I guess, Pat, you've convinced me that maybe it shouldn't be permanent, but I would vote against adding temporary when we get to that, because I think it should be left open-ended. So, Pam?
Well, I would just like to point out that whether you put temporary in there or permanent in there, they're both temporary. They can both be changed. I mean, this is not a permanent solution. This is just, I mean, so this long discussion on this, I find just silly.
Okay. So, are we ready to vote? The motion is to have the word permanently extend the tax surcharge inserted in the first result. All in favor of that, please raise your hand.
I'm not.
One, two, three, four. Dooley, it was your motion.
Yeah, do I have to vote for it?
No,
I moved it because I think it shouldn't be either extreme. It should be left.
Okay,
blank.
Okay. You're just voting. I just want to check. So four in favor, opposed. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. 8, 9, 10. That fails 4-10. What we have now on the floor is temporarily to insert temporarily on that in that resolve. Pat and then Peter and Brian.
I'd like to. I,
I'd like to reserve my spot for a minute while I think about this.
Okay, Peter, then Brian.
Well, I'd like to call the question. I think it's all been just, well, I shouldn't
you
say
anything. You don't say anything. Mike, you're seconding the question. Okay, all in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Then it must have been 11.
It's
10 to 4.
10 to 4? Yeah.
Okay. All right, question is called the amendment. Well, we're voting on the amendment to add the word temporarily into the first resolve. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that right? That fails 6 to 8. We have the main motion on the floor now. Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I said earlier this evening, because the committee that I chair will witness a number of hits, and certainly the governor's proposed budget, and I don't think this is, what is the saying, being chairman of the committee is like being point man for Roto-Rooter. No matter what you run into, none of it's any good.
What was that?
That's the governor's budget.
It's really
the censored version.
That'll be in the notes.
I don't want anymore.
And it's televised.
I want to find out when
I thought it was an action item, actually.
But you're gonna lose at least me on this vote. If you don't do some amendment to it, this is I can't agree with anybody more that I would have supported this simply because I think under the circumstances we need to do something at least to get over the hump and buy some time at the state level so that they can get their arms around this budget shortfall, and it's huge. I mean, you guys all know that as well as I do. It ain't going to be resolved by April 1st. They may have a budget, but the problems aren't going to be resolved. And if we think that they're going to have their arms around the fallout on this by the summer, we're being very optimistic, at least in my opinion. This is a long-range problem. It took us 50 years to get here. It's broader than just what we've seen. It involves the authorities. It involves sensitive subject. It involves the not-for-profit organizations that do not pay an income tax as a not-for-profit. It's a very broad issue, and this would have bought, I think this could buy some time. But under the circumstances, I realize I'm certainly in the minority around this table, but I just can't support this in the guise that it is. I was anxious to have Peter's temporary wording put in there because I think that might set the stage. You can't possibly have any faith in what these bananas in Albany are going to do if you think they're going to get this thing resolved just because we're passing a resolution. Thank you.
My own little comment is that pretty much if they read anything, they'll read the title. So I don't think anybody will notice whether we specified temporary or whatever.
Well, I disagree.
Okay. Brian, did you have your hand up?
I did. I think the only way I could support this is with the word temporary in there, but let's face it, it's temporary no matter what we put in there.
Exactly.
But this symbolic gesture that we have going forward, I could support with temporary. I find it peculiar that our great Republican governor Cuomo tells us that we cannot raise taxes in this climate, yet offers a tax break to anybody. My personal view is I have always favored a flat tax, but that's not part of this. but to their logic would tell me anyway that there's something at play here in Albany that has caused this when it makes no fiscal sense to do it. You know, we can all surmise what that might be. And this goes against my personal grain to raise taxes on anyone. But in my view, this isn't raising the taxes. They would actually be getting a tax break under this. So if we can somehow put a temporary into that, that would massage it enough for me to be able to support it.
There's nothing stopping you from making, you know, the motion to that effect.
Can I do it now?
That would be fine.
Is that friendly to whoever? It was in there once.
Can somebody restate it?
Got voted down, but do it again.
Okay. Do it again, Brian.
Where are now?
I might give it another whirl.
Go ahead.
So you're moving to amend to reinstate, to insert temporarily. Jonathan, he's looking at Robert's rules. In other words, is this a motion to reconsider? Hold on, everybody, just a second. Julie, is this about the point of order?
No, it's a suggestion to Brian.
To be able
well,
to
Well, Jonathan looks at what?
If you put the word temporary in a different place.
Yeah, it's a different motion.
It's a different motion.
So how about after the word surcharge?
To extend the temporary surcharge.
Yeah.
Then it would be a different motion.
That's what this kind of legislature temporarily calls on.
Brian, you want to think of, you have a suggestion?
No, that would be fine.
I'm sorry.
Hope that people can support it. I'd like to be on the right side of at least one vote tonight. So.
Peter, you're second.
Seconding Brian.
And would you clarify where are we putting it?
After
extend the temporary surcharge?
After surcharge.
Surcharge on the wealth. On the wealthy temporarily.
No. Yeah, after surcharge. Oh.
Brian is the mover. Brian, where do you want it?
Hang on 2 seconds.
It's a reconsideration.
The thing about a motion to reconsider is one can make it at the same meeting, but it has to be someone who voted with the prevailing side, and Brian wasn't. But it's okay if he changes where it is.
Yeah. Brian, could you put it after extend to extend temporarily? Just move it. I said to temporarily extend.
Yeah.
You can also say to extend temporarily.
Extend temporarily.
Yeah.
All right. Put it on the back side of extend instead of.
Okay. Peter seconds that.
I seconded it.
All right. Did you want to speak also?
I have something briefly to say. There's been a lot of discussion around this room that everything is temporary because you can change it. And that's simply not true. If you remember all the blood, sweat, and tears that has went on about making the Bush tax cuts permanent, and where the great compromise was that they made them temporary for another year, okay? There's a lot of feeling that there's a big difference between doing something for temporarily and something permanently. Because if you're going to reverse something permanently, it takes all three houses to agree to do it. So a permanent thing is a whole lot harder to get rid of than something that is temporary.
Will and then Michael, Mike.
Okay, folks, it's getting very, very late. Let's a little reality check. What we are doing is attempting to send some message to the state legislature that we, given this fiscal crisis, it is insane to give up this thing, temporarily, long-term, whatever. We have a difference in agreement. I voted against it because I really feel that our basic tax structure is fundamentally flawed and regressive. Mm-hmm. Brian, maybe we should go out and have a long cup of coffee or whatever and talk about different visions for that. But I will vote for your amendment because I really would love to see us come out with some mostly supported thing that we could send on to the state.
Mike?
Call in question. It's 9:25, and we've got a real business resolution.
Second by Jim. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Question is called. All in favor of saying to extend temporarily the tax surcharge, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That is 13 to 1. That passes. So the motion now is amended. We are on the main motion again. Do we need to call the question, or can we just go? Let's just vote, right?
Right.
Yes. All in favor of the motion as amended, please raise your hand. Any opposed? I'm sorry, Delee, did you raise your hand?
No, so I'll be counted yes.
Okay, then that's unanimous. Thank you, Brian. Thank you all. All right, it was a very important discussion, and I appreciate it. Where are we, Jim? You know where we are, Jim?
For our budget, I'm still here.
Well,
I have one more thing to
go
say.
Go for it. Okay.
That's fairly significant.
Okay.
And you can all be the judge of that.
We will.
On Monday, the 28th of February, the Blue Collar Union rejected our mediated proposal that we sent them. And that ends my report. That puts us back to the table, I guess, another mediation or some sort of a meeting.
It goes to fact-finding.
Sorry, you're right. It goes to fact-finding, and then. So we're back at square zero.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jim. I will go to the Government Operations Committee. Mike, you have two consent agenda resolutions, too.
Yeah, Resolution A, I believe, was pulled. Authorizing the county administrator to enter into a lease for property located on Elmira Road in Ithaca.
Is there a second?
So move.
Second? Frank seconds that. And I can't remember who pulled it off. Kathy?
Yes, I'm familiar with this and just wanted to call my colleagues and the public's attention. Since in the news we're talking about the right to peaceful assembly, it's important to notice that this particular piece of property is one that we have in the past made particular efforts to see that it remains accessible to members of the public for peaceful assembly and protest. I'm happy to see that this year it wasn't brought forward as an offer to purchase, which it has in the past, and just wanted to say that it's great also that the lease offer is going up to $2,500, but for those of y'all that don't know, you should either ask your colleagues, or I'll just say to the public, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is property that's near or adjacent to, or is actually the entryway to Walmart. And some of us are very concerned about the impact that such stores can have on our economy due to the fact that they pay so little and that many of their employees are actually eligible for food stamps and public assistance, which adds to our tax burden. So the fact that we retain this property and lease it to Walmart allows the opportunity for peaceful assembly there. And as long as I'm on this legislature, I will vote that we keep this property for that purpose.
Thank you, Kathy. Frank?
Yeah. Just clarification. Maybe I misheard you, but we are not leasing this to Walmart. We're leasing it to Benderson. That's Walmart is one of the shops in the mall that this is access to.
And that's an important distinction.
You're going to offer a BJ?
Thank you.
Anything else? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution A, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Resolution B? B was pulled off.
Which one?
B.
Really, he was pulled off.
Yeah.
Approval of appointment to the Tompkins County Council of Governments, and I so move.
Is there a second? And Dave seconds that. I think Leslie, you pulled it off?
Yeah, I pulled this resolution because I just wanted a a reminder of sorts of how does the selection of the legislature representative and appointment to TCOG occur?
I drafted the resolution and it went through GO. The bylaws of TCOG, I can't remember if it strongly suggests or states that the delegate needs to be or should be the chief elected. In most, it's the mayor or it's the supervisor. So that's why the chair of the legislature has traditionally been, well, hasn't always been, but it's, that's why.
Actually, that's not, because when
Michael Clinton
was the chair,
I was then, that's right. But at any rate, so continue to serve since I'm the chair.
So can I ask how, and there's nothing against Carol, I just want to know how the alternate was selected as well?
This was among the things that I believe was on the list of things that I put out there, and Carol responded. You know, I said, here are the appointments that are coming up, and Carol responded.
Thank you. I do not remember seeing that, but thank you.
There was a list. There are a lot of these that I did at the beginning of during January. So this, I'm pretty sure this was on that list. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution B, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. And Mike, you have G. And then if you have a report.
I'll be very, very brief. We've actually had two GO meetings because we had to carry over because it went long. We were talking about the minutes resolution. Won't go over that again. We also talked about the draft memo that I submitted to the committee with respect to how we would set up and charge the proposed redistricting committee. We got about halfway through that. We've got another meeting, I think, on the 7th, one day in early March, to finish that, and then it'll come forward to this legislature for approval or change, and we hope we can then have a committee that can be appointed, a commission, we're calling it, for the redistricting. And the other thing I wanted to mention is we're going to contact Time Warner about the being able to broadcast out of the buildings, which we've added to the letter. The Tompkins County Public Library, that's the Board Warner Room. The Human Services Building, the Bedlusi Conference Room. The Tompkins County Health Department up there, and the Emergency Services Building.
Kathy?
Thanks. Mike, I just wanted to ask if your committee is considering any kind of public interface prior to the actual appointing so the members of the public can weigh in or have the opportunity to hear a presentation about the different configurations that have been suggested and how you came about your process?
I'm not exactly sure. Are you asking us to have a public meeting about the proposal?
That's an option. I think that the public would be affected by this, and my guess is it would be really a transparent thing to do, to talk about the different proposals that have been brought forth and what the arguments were that led the committee to decide to recommend the configuration that they propose, and then when they make their appointments, it would be, I think, well received by the community.
I'll be glad to have that discussed by the committee.
Thank you.
Okay. Will.
I want to thank Mike for the brevity of the report. I would just call on other committee people to be equally brief, because given the time of the hour and the fact that we have
Thank you.
Executive session.
We get Resolution G.
Approval of designation of successors, and I so move.
First and seconded by Dave. Julie.
I would request that the airport manager and successors get moved down with the other public works divisions under county administrator.
That's simply a formatting thing, and we talked about that committee, and that's friendly.
Okay. Leslie?
Well, you know, I know that this happens every year, but I was a little I don't know if I've never noticed this before, but on the county administration, I was just wondering why the county attorney and the director of finance are under administration when they have their own departments, and according to the top, whereas, it's a, well, it says they are in line 3 and 4, employees of the department. So I'm just wondering why attorney and finance are now under the order of designation on the county administration.
Before there was a deputy.
Am I missing something?
Was the second.
Huh?
Before there was a deputy, I was the second. I was the.
Regardless, I'm just asking.
Because this is, if I may.
Who would succeed him?
This is saying who the succession is. If the administrator is not there, then the first person is the deputy county administrator. Mm-hmm. If that person isn't available, then the next person to go to, we got to go to a different department. In this case, we go to the county attorney, who steps in, and then the director of finance.
Okay, can I ask my second city question for tonight? So if that does happen, I'm granted 3 city questions tonight. If that does happen, then does that mean in the county attorney's department, then the deputy county attorney will now assume the head role?
No. That person still.
It doesn't happen like that.
No.
No. Well, actually, it does. Because if you look under the county attorney, the deputy county attorney
I'm watching
succeeds
it, that's what I'm
the
asking.
County attorney.
Now, this
yeah,
is
but that's
the,
only if
the,
they can't.
If Joe is out of town,
right.
Jonathan's yeah, it goes to the deputy administrator, then to the county attorney. If Jonathan, it's come to Jonathan, that doesn't mean he's not still head of his own department. He's right. Here. He's, you know, leading his department. He also acts in that interim as the administrator in that role, if a decision has to be made, et cetera.
And if Jonathan's not here, it goes to David.
That's right.
That's the batting order.
They don't abdicate leadership of their own department in that they take on the second role for that period of time.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Does this happen in any other department, any county administration, that employees can we take employees from someplace else?
I don't believe so, no.
No, I don't. I think it's the issue of sort of the overall role of the administrators.
Right. And I think there are also your appointees who would follow another appointee of yours. I think that there's some logic. That logic is behind this, too.
Direct reports?
Direct reports, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would just say that the county administrator is a high-level appointment by this legislature, and I think the successors need to be people who have had a lot of experience in managing departments, and I think that's why we do that.
I can say that. If that's the argument, then I can say that for the Commission of Social Services. I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to understand it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just trying to understand why that happened when they have their own departments and it says on the top of the year is from within your department. That's all I was trying to understand. Thank you.
Can I also say that I don't think we've ever gone down the chain that far?
No, but I was going to note that this does put David Squires in the position of, like, Miss Congeniality in terms of the ranking of these.
Especially because our county administrator refuses to take a vacation.
Mr. Congeniality.
So I don't think anybody has to really worry about this. Good question, Leslie. All right. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hand. As amended by Dooley. Any opposed? One opposed. Okay. Mike, is that anything else in your report?
That's all.
All right. Thank you. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Public Safety Committee has had one meeting. Since the last time I reported at that meeting, we heard a report from the Director of Probation, Pat Buchel. And I think I want to put that together with another meeting I went to after that, namely with CJI.
CJATI.
Yeah, CJATI, where the Community Justice Alternatives to Incarceration. And when I put the two meetings together, it sounds like a disaster is approaching us. And at CJATI, I heard the shocking report that the increase in the number of violent crimes in the youth is really substantial over the past several years. This is not a nice little quiet place that I thought it was. And the number of cases that the Youth Commission has to deal with, and of course, that's an additional load on probation. And at the same time, I hear that the state is cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting the amount of money that comes to probation. And the report that we heard is that it's going to be really difficult, says Pat Buchel, to supply the services that we currently need with the state funding that we have. And the fact of the matter is it looks like we're going to have to provide more services than what we currently do. And I find that very unsettling. And so I have no answer, but I just pass that along to you. We have, by the way, have decided to have an in-depth discussion at every meeting with a department head that reports to the Public Safety Commission, focused on what problems do you see ahead, what opportunities do you see ahead. We heard more problems than opportunities the last time. The next meeting I'll report on what the sheriff had to say.
Thank you, Peter. We can now call you Mr. Sunshine instead of Joe. Any questions for Peter? Thank you, Peter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, last one, I think they're more chair.
WDAC met on the 26th of January, and we continue in our small group work groups, revising and tightening up our draft diversity plan. And we will continue to do the same thing in February, at our February meeting. We're almost there.
March.
We met in February. March. At our March meeting.
Really? March already?
Yes.
All right.
Done.
Any questions for Leslie?
In March?
Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee's official meeting will be next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, on the 9th. The agenda is being assembled now by Karen. We're having a special meeting, and this is a reminder to the board. We're having a special meeting on the 8th. This is to discuss the impacts on the departments and also key agencies in town regarding the Medicaid and the Medicaid issue, as well as the state and federal budget. I want you to know that I did invite to this meeting, in addition to our own department heads and through Kathy Slaughter, some key agencies. I did invite, and Joe and I went over the list, the representative from Family and Children's Service, Racker Center, the hospital, the United Way, and Challenge, because those are the key agencies that deal, that we do a lot with regard to Medicaid. They're big service providers. Lee Dillon from TCA was planning to come anyway, so just so you know that those are the big ticket items in town. That meeting is 3:30 in the old jail conference room. Earlier today, while we can't reveal any names at this point, we had our, what we hoped might be our final meeting for the public health director's search. We interviewed two individuals, and while Carol indicated that some have been here since 5 o'clock, some of us have been here since 12 o'clock, and it's been a long day. Joe, I want to thank you and Steve Estes, Anita. We hope the search may be coming to a close rather quickly. It looks promising. And I want to ask Martha a question with regard to resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
We're beginning, and you know, through my committee, through the health committee, because of the number of agencies that we deal with, we're beginning to see resolutions like the one that was passed about the income tax extension, tax on the wealthy. We're beginning to have different organizations ask us to, you know, don't cut me, the resolutions. Are we going to collapse? I can't deal with 25 or 30 of those coming through health that all basically say the same thing, because every organization is important. Are we going to try to develop some sort of a master resolution? I don't know, because we have other departments beyond the health committee that I'm sure feel the same way. But are we going to do something, perhaps, that...
You're probably doing your agenda like very shortly for your next meeting, right?
Yes.
And it will be the only meeting before as they may pass the budget. So there's no.
Oh, you mean the only meeting of my
of the committee before April 1st. I mean, I think if whatever we got to say now, if we say now, say it now or forever hold our peace. So I would maybe suggest that your agencies, maybe it would be a good idea to combine, you know, if that's, I mean, you should handle that however you want, but it's really kind of this next meeting is the only shot. If they want to get something before.
Well, the reason I ask is that there's other departments, and we heard Peter report on probation and a couple of others that are going to get hit, that could get hurt. Anyway, we ought to talk about
okay.
that.
Okay,
we
Jim?
Don't have to.
No, that's right.
Okay.
Thank you. That's the end of my report.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Thanks, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah. Anybody who's recently tuned in, single stream recycling starts March 7th. Anybody out there who has not been recycling because of the need to find a place for those separate containers, you can now throw all your recycling in one container and put it out. Other than that, F and I will be meeting this Friday, March 4th at 9:30.
Thank you, Carol. Capital Plan Review Committee has not met since the last legislature meeting. Our next meeting is March 10th at 3:30. Mike Lane, are you all set? I don't see anything else on here. You're on the list here. Government Operations, you're finished, right? Your report?
Yeah, I gave my report.
Okay, great. Thank you. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam Magsey, Chair.
Pam. The Planning Committee meets tomorrow at 3:30 in the Old Tales Conference Room.
Some people have to, thank you, food. Some people have to read their packet.
Martha.
Yes.
Can I ask Pam a question?
Yes.
I heard a rumor that the census information is going to be, the data is going to be coming out soon.
Well, I have been getting emails for about the last month and a half saying that the information is imminent. And it was supposed to come out in February, and it didn't make it. And so, I too am very interested in seeing the results, but have not heard anything.
Thanks.
For sure.
All right. Minutes of the previous meeting. They're in our packets now. Mike,
could I just ask Pam a quick question? It's March 1. Do we hear anything from census yet?
Okay. I'm sorry, Mike. Kathy just asked me that question.
I'm sorry, I missed
it. It's okay. Then. It's all right. I mean, in this atmosphere, no, I haven't. Well, I'm
my apologies.
No, it's okay. Really, it's okay. Just right in with what's going on.
Mike, I think there's no more oxygen in the room. for one thing. So
I was otherwise occupied. Sorry.
I'm glad it's not just me that spaces out from time to time.
Thank you for your interest, though.
Pam, what's the story on the census?
We have the minutes from the previous meeting, and I was hoping, Mike, you would have some guidance on whether we vote on these minutes.
We're still in the old mode, I guess.
In the old mode. We have them here. Do I have a motion on the minutes from
yeah,
the...
Yeah, move them.
February 15th.
Call the question.
No.
Move them, second it.
No, yeah, I have a change.
For the February 15th, and you have a change.
I have a change. Okay, wait, I know it's hard to believe, but I have a change. On packet page 22, it's page 8 of the minutes. It's my me talking, and it's just it's the last paragraph on the page. And the it says that to oversee the tourism program, and a brief report was provided to the committee on a pre-retirement survey. It's not a pre-retirement survey. It's a it's a survey that will look at anticipated housing needs in the community. It's not retirement. Nothing to do with retirement. So it's a.
Okay, so
it's a market. It's a housing market study, is what it is.
A brief report was provided to the committee on a housing market study.
Yes.
Okay. Period. Okay. Thank you.
Well,
Tara, what?
Are we done with that?
Yes. Go.
Okay. Did my change about the F&I report make it in here? Packet page 25, report from F&I committee, the second to last sentence should be a rail did not introduce to F&I the notion of project labor agreements. In addition, it should instead read, in addition, the committee held a discussion on the notion of project labor agreements.
Friendly.
Okay. That's in
there. Pam's was friendly, too.
Julie?
Well, I had sent out a packet which included pages 8 and 11, which no longer have to be included because they were just dealt with. So I guess I would like to offer... I'm having trouble finding it. Pages 2 and 3 and 4, whatever Kathy thought should go out.
Is there a second? Those suggestions back, a lack of a second. We're ready to vote on the minutes with those friendly amendments?
Well, I hope Betty Falcow's name will be corrected.
All in favor of the amendments? Minutes as amended, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? That's everybody but two, however many are in the room. Okay, no. 13, it's 11 to 2. All right, that concludes our business. I think we do not need the executive session. That we need. Okay. All right, and motion to adjourn. So moved. All in favor of adjourning? Thank you all.
Why did we need an executive session?